Thank you, Sherry. Fit right in with what we're seeking to emphasize here this morning of the praise of our God and the worthiness. And when we think of someone being worthy, that means we're giving them worth. And we want to be ascribing worth to our great God and to our Savior, Jesus Christ. I invite you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. That's going to be a launching point, and we're going to make our way through here this morning. As we continue to think about growing in grace, I'm going to be taking a few messages about that, of what does that look like. And today we're kind of looking at the process and defining this idea of growing in grace just a little bit more. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Amen. Grow in grace. I want you to think of maybe some moments in your life when you have felt very insufficient to handle maybe a tense situation. Maybe you had something just this last week where you had a difficult time handling something. Maybe something that someone said to you that was offensive, was difficult to take. For some, it might mean the passing of a loved one. It's always difficult to handle those circumstances of a friend. Or maybe times when you have felt flawed. You just felt as though you've made a mistake, or that you just don't measure up to other people, expectations, whatever. Maybe at work, it may be other places. And my question to you of those circumstances is, how did you handle yourself? How did that go? You know, there are times when we are able to respond with grace, with strength. And maybe it wasn't what our flesh was telling us to do, but we were able to, as we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're able to respond graciously. We're able to handle the situation. But there's too many times when we handle things in a prideful way, don't we? Because of our pride, we will look at something and maybe we'll snap back at someone because of something that they said, and we just didn't think it was appropriate. And what we did was no more appropriate than what we thought they did. And we just kind of handle it, you know, kind of like kids would do. Well, if you did that to me, I'm going to do it back. You know, and that's sometimes the way we act even as adults. We're just a little more refined and sophisticated in the way we do it sometimes, not always. Sometimes we will handle those things in a complaining manner, just kind of feeling sorry for ourselves and complaining, say, God, why'd you allow, how come it's always me? No one else seems to struggle with the kind of problems that I do. And now let me ask you, if we do those things, are we responding with grace? Well, I'll let you answer that question, because I think most of us, when we understand the Spirit of God and how he's working in our heart and our life, we understand the wrongs that we do and what could have been and should have been. The opposite of a gracious response can be several things. We can be cold, we can be gruff, we can be haughty and prideful, we can be disrespectful, we can be hateful or irritable, we can become arrogant or complaining. Those are just a few things that really do not reflect grace in our life. And so if we're going to be growing in grace, then there's some things that maybe need to change in how we respond, and we need to be more guarded we may not respond that way all the time, but we need to be more guarded so that when those real difficult times come, unsuspectedly, which is usually the way those things happen, that we're going to be able to respond with grace. Because when we do, we know we're growing in grace. If you don't, there's more growth that needs to take place. Tense situations, they happen regularly. We make mistakes regularly. Our humanity gets exposed way more often than we would like. At least that's the way for me. And I'm pretty sure that would be echoed throughout this congregation today. And how we handle those situations are going to depend on how much we have grown in grace. When we talk about having grace and growing in grace, we're talking about allowing God's divine favor to transform us from creatures who are bound by sin and selfishness, a depraved nature, bound by sin and a disregard for God, and we're turned and growing into glorious vessels for righteousness, for godliness. And as God gives us grace, we're able to respond and give others that grace as well and be gracious. Just as a plant needs water, needs sunlight to grow, we need God's grace to mature us spiritually. To grow in grace is to allow God's truth to flow in us and through us, to touch every aspect of our life. If we're going to be truly maturing and growing in grace, we can't just say, well, I want to respond a certain way when I'm at work because I don't want to be gracious. None of my coworkers are gracious to me. I'm not going to be gracious back to them. Or when I go visit certain family or when I go visit certain neighbors, they're never gracious to me. And so I've just kind of got to give it, you know, in order to keep up. That's the way they give it, and so I'm just going to give it back. Now, let's be honest. Is that really gracious? Is that growing in grace? This idea of grace is not just a one-time event. We should consider it a destination. Something that continues. A lifelong journey that leads to change. And no matter how young we are or how old we are, we all can use more grace. In fact, what I have found, not only in my own life, but as I observe others, that as we get older, we tend to sometimes become a little less gracious. And let me explain that real briefly. You know, when we're younger, we have this filter, hopefully, that we are able to use. The filter is godliness and righteousness. And we say, no, I really shouldn't say that, and so I won't. And our mind just tells us, okay, let's make sure we filter how we're going to respond in certain situations. But what I've found is that sometimes the older I get, my filter is wearing out. And I just say, you know what? Tough. This is the way I feel. I'm just going to let you know. And my filter is not activated the way it should be. And in reality, my grace is not acting the way it ought to be. And we can tend to recede in our graciousness sometimes as we get older. So I'm not just targeting old folks today, because I'm there too, all right? But let's just understand, this is not just for somebody else. This is for all of us. Now, spiritual maturity doesn't mean that we have to become perfect. But what it does mean is that we have grown more aware of our imperfections and we are more dependent upon God's grace in our life. This growing in grace is something that needs to be chosen and pursued by us as believers, knowing that God will supply. He will give us what we need and even overflowing. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, that God is able to make all grace abound unto you. So as we think about growing in grace and defining this process, I want us to see that the prospect of our life, its imperfections, and then the need of our knowledge of God, which we'll talk about that eventually, not necessarily today, but how God works, it needs to be and it will demonstrate growth in grace in our lives. So for today, we're going to look just at four things very briefly. And I'm trying to be a little more brief today, knowing we have this business meeting. So bear with me and we'll see. And some of you are saying, oh yeah, Pastor, you've said that before. Okay, let's just see how we do here, all right? I see four things here of how growth in grace can and should be reflected in our life. First of all, there needs to be an acceptance of circumstances that God brings into our life. I want you to turn in your Bibles, and we're going to be, for each of these points, we're going to be turning to different scriptures. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just briefly, if you will, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we see how that grace enables us to accept adverse circumstances. What does Paul say here when he writes this letter to the church of Corinth, beginning in verse 8? He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest or made known in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So what he's saying here is that there are things that we go through that even as Jesus, who died on the cross, in giving of himself, there was sacrifice that was there. There was pain that was there. And we go through sacrifice. We go through pain. And all of these things are designed to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That we be conformed to his image, as Romans chapter 8 tells us, is the design for God's working in our life. And he says in verse 15, all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So here's Paul who's saying, hey, we have gone through so many things. And he's not bragging, he's not complaining, he's not bemoaning, he's just stating facts. And he's trying to help them to understand the importance of grace. That as we go through these troubles, these distresses, these perplexities, these persecutions, that though they are going to impact us and our minds and our lives and even our futures in some respect, that still we do not need to be in despair when these things happen in our life. The reason for that is because God is able to bring order in our lives when things just look so chaotic. There have been things that I'm sure have happened in each of your lives here today, your families. You can look back in your history and just see things that have transpired that think, man, am I ever going to make it out of this? How am I going to be able to survive this situation? And yet you can look back and see the grace of God and the favor that God has bestowed upon you to carry you through. Why? Because God is able to do those kinds of work in our life. It doesn't mean that we have to like those situations. It doesn't mean that we'd say, boy, I wish that would happen again. There are some things that I would enjoy reliving. There are many things in life I'd just soon keep them in the past and forget it. In some ways, I wish that had never happened, except I know it was designed by God to make me to what I am today. And so I can accept those things. And I don't have to like them, but I can refuse to be and live in despair because of those things. That is something that is a choice that we can make. We don't have to live in despair. We don't have to live in discouragement. We can be asking God to intervene and to give His grace in our lives. Paul realized the importance of forgiving and helping people. You can read back in chapter 2 where there was an issue that, and we won't go there, but he deals with an issue of how he had to deal with someone in the church. And yet there was a forgiveness. There was an accepting. And they weren't going to allow this situation to give Satan a pathway into their church and into their lives. And he makes this statement in 2 Corinthians 2:11. He said, lest Satan should gain an advantage of us. We're not ignorant of his devices. We need to realize that when we respond in a negative, ungodly, fleshly way, not in accordance to grace, we are giving Satan an opportunity to get into our life. We're opening that door just a little more, from a crack to maybe a little wider, because we're entertaining sinful responses in our life. So, well, they just deserve, no. Let's make sure we understand what the scripture is talking about here. We should not give occasion to the flesh. So we need to make sure we're responding with grace. And so we see this important matter of accepting circumstances that God brings into our life. To say, God, I don't necessarily like it, I don't understand it, but give me the grace to be able to endure what you've brought in my life. So here's this verse, 2 Corinthians 4:8. I know some of you have some different versions maybe, so let's read this verse together from the screen. Together, really? Ready? 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. I hope that you will take that and say, hey, maybe that needs to be your verse for this week. Maybe next week, or as you don't know when these things are going to come, but you need to realize that, hey, if I'm going to see the grace of God, whenever that trouble comes, help me, Lord, not to be in distress and in despair. The second thing that I want us to see here this morning of growth in grace and how it can be reflected is when we apprehend God's sufficiency. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we've dealt with this passage already. It's been a while ago now in defining grace and seeing attitudes of grace in our life. But we see in this passage of Scripture a wonderful declaration and demonstration of an understanding of the grace of God. Spiritual growth is often going to be the result of adverse situations. Let me say that again. Spiritual growth will often be the result of adverse situations. I don't want those adverse situations. Okay, if God's put them there, are you going to deal with them the way God wants you to? Or are you just going to pass it off and act in a fleshly manner and say, well, I don't want to learn this lesson next time? Well, it may be that God will just bring something else along to help you to learn it for the next time. And the next time may be a little harder. You know, that's what tests are designed to do. Tests are designed to reveal the things that we know and that we can put into practice. So when testing comes our way, God is wanting to know, all right, what have you learned about me? What have you learned? Have you grown in grace since the last affliction that you had? I'm oversimplifying this, obviously. But we see that if there's going to be a need for growth in our life, we need to see how God operates. Now, there's usually situations that we would never choose to go through. I've been through some of those things. You've been through some of those things. You've been through things that I haven't been through, and vice versa. Sometimes it's an illness. Sometimes it's a business failure. Sometimes it's a period of financial or personal turmoil. Maybe it's the death of a loved one, a spouse, or other family member. Maybe a friend or a spouse abandons you. I mean, these are problems. These are troublesome issues that happen in our lives. And we will either taste of the sufficiency of God during those times and pursue that sufficiency to be of help to us, or we will continue to suffer needlessly. Now, I'm not trying to oversimplify things, but I know and I've seen in my own life that as I have sought to grow in the grace of God and see His sufficiency through it all, it has greatly reduced the suffering. It doesn't always just take it all away. And I think we all know that. But it enables us to cope with those circumstances in a way that can honor the Lord and that can grow us in our life. So 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, Paul is talking about an issue that God had given to him. We believe it was some kind of a physical infirmity. It could have been something with regard to his eyesight. And he calls it a thorn in the flesh. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. And by the way, he says that because he just talked about the fact that how that he was left for dead and he was caught up to what he thought was the third heaven. I mean, this is a revelation that God had given to Paul. And he said, you know what? Just so that I don't think that I'm something special, that I was able to see something that no one else has ever seen, and that God didn't even allow Paul to utter that within the Holy Writ here. And he said, just so that I'm not exalted above measure, he said, God gave to me a thorn in the flesh. Messenger of Satan is what he calls it, to buffet me. In other words, to just put him back in his place, lest I should be exalted above measure. He's simply saying, God brought something to humble me. Now, none of us like to be humbled, but we all need it. And let's not forget what James tells us, I think it's chapter 4 and verse 6, where God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. So if you want to have more of God's grace, then you need to be willing to be humbled before God. Now, we can make the choice. We can either humble ourselves or we can be humbled. I don't enjoy being humbled. And I'd much rather just humble myself. But in any case, there is that need if I am going to see the grace of God. And then he says in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So I don't like that I just feel insufficient and lowly. That's right. Bask in the sufficiency of Christ. It is when we feel weak that we can be strong. Strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know, there are times that we can feel so low that we are really testing the resources of the grace of God. Let's understand that God is sufficient to care for you in whatever that affliction may be. Apprehend God's sufficiency. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Let's read this verse together out loud with me, please. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And that's God's strength being made perfect in us, in our weakness. The third way that grace is reflected in our life is when we activate praise to God. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And this is a familiar short verse that God gives to us, the Apostle Paul, as he is seeking to encourage us. He says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Giving thanks. And giving thanks is really a matter of giving praise to God. Growing in grace involves the cultivation of a voice of praise instead of complaining. Complaining isn't praise, folks. I don't care how you want to couch it. You can't make complaining look good. It's not praise. Boy, how easy it is to complain about our circumstances. Oh, Pastor, you just don't know what I've been through. I probably don't. But God does. God does. And if you consider Him to be sufficient, and if you will accept the circumstances, knowing that God is omniscient, He knows everything. He knows what you can handle. He knows the circumstances around everything. And He knows how He can make Himself strong in your life through whatever it is you're going through. We know that. We can activate praise. There's a little verse in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Our kids, when they were going to Christian school, they would learn the ABCs of Bible verses. And with the letter D from Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. D, do all things without murmurings and disputings. And you know, that verse is not only good for kids, but it's good for adults as well. Amen? Okay, I was a little weak. All right. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Say that with me. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. There were many men and women in the scriptures that God records for us who had the grace to be able to do this. Oh, there were some murmurings and disputings, but there was praise in the life of Job. There was murmurings and disputings in the life of David, but there was praise. Even the Apostle Paul, there was praise to God and realizing that it is God who is doing a work in my life. And that's what Paul means when he writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Let's read it together. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks. Give praise. That may be one of the hardest things that you could do in the midst of your affliction. But some way, somehow, at some point, it may not come right away. I guarantee you. But at some point you say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for how and what you have done. And I thank you for your grace that sustains me through this situation. Activate praise. And then finally, I believe that growth in grace is reflected in our aspiration to God's plan, to aspire to God's plan. That means that's a goal. That's an aim that we have in our life. I think most of us are familiar with the verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You and I are growing in grace when we have a desire to submit to the will of God. Lord, I know this is a circumstance that you've allowed in my life. I am apprehending your sufficiency. I want to praise you, and I realize this is a part of your plan. And I'm going to submit to your plan. I'm going to submit to your will. I want to do this your way, not my way. Other people may respond their way. I want to respond the way you want me to respond, responding with grace. And in your grace. You see, when God allows afflictions in our life, it's always with purpose. He's not haphazard in how he does things. He doesn't afflict on a whim. He always proceeds for the purpose of drawing us to himself. Every circumstance that he brings along our way, I want you to learn of me. And Jesus then says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. See what I am all about. Have knowledge of me. And we'll talk of the importance of knowledge of God and talk about some of those things of what we need to know about God in coming weeks to help us to grow in grace. But the acknowledgement needs to be of God. If all we're doing is just looking at our circumstances and saying, man, I've got it rough. Okay, you may. And you know, I just don't know. I wish somebody could help me. I wish somebody would lay off. I wish, you know, they'd just back off. Instead of looking more at the horizontal relationships, we need to be looking vertically to God. That doesn't mean we don't deal with the things, but let's make God our priority. Let's realize he's doing a work. Let's realize that he has a purpose. And as he's doing so, he is working in grace, and he's working to try to draw us to himself. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. This is right before that verse that says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. It says, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, for his purpose and for his plan. But we serve a loving, merciful, compassionate God. And he has saved you, and he wants to grow you. Embracing grace means that we're trusting that God's purposes will ultimately prevail. Even when we can't see what the lesson is, when we can't see what the purpose is, we're still gonna trust God. I don't understand, Pastor. It's okay. Trust God. And if you come and ask me, say, do you know the answer? I probably won't. And I'll just say, trust God. Trust him. So Romans 8, 28, let's read this together. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Grace gives us the ability to respond graciously to the twists, to the turns of life. How have you done? How are you going to do this next week in receiving the grace of God and growing in that grace? Now, I know we're not all perfect. So you might say, well, Pastor, you're sure asking a whole lot of me. I'm not asking it of you. It's God who's given the message, right? And he says, grow in grace. If we want to be the kind of person that God wants us to be and really be joyful in our life, we will follow these things and more. People who respond without grace, they're not happy. Oh, they may have an instant gratification when they tell somebody off. But you know, deep down, they're not happy. They're not joyful. They haven't been satisfied. And the reason why I know is because they're just going to do it again next time. They didn't get enough of it that one time. And they may come back to you again and do it more and more and more. Let's find our satisfaction in the Lord. Let's not copy this world. Let's live and grow in grace. Let's bow for prayer.